Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Thanks for joining our special broadcast on location at the 2015 Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. Pick a festival, any festival, and you have to think about the food. Roast corn, funnel cakes, lemon slushies, you know what I'm talking about. And these days, that array includes the increasingly popular food truck. But before that truck opens shop, the vehicle and the operators have undergone a tedious inspection process by the City of Columbus. Coming up, we'll hear from some food truck operators who are here for the art festival. Joining us now is Columbus Public Health's Food Safety Program Manager, Robert Acquista. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Thank you.
So as you inspect, or the people that you work with inspect, brick-and-mortar restaurants as well as mobile food operations, right?
That is correct.
So how do the processes differ between the brick-and-mortar and the mobiles?
Well, the brick-and-mortars don't move, but...
Hardy har har.
With the mobiles, they face a little bit of different challenges than what the brick-and-mortars face. You know, they're outdoors, they're in the elements. They're hooking up to whatever water is provided. So that they do face different challenges, but they go through the same scrutiny as a brick-and-mortar would go through.
And when somebody wants to open up, the idea that a food truck seems to be simpler to a lot of people, and in fact, a lot of people do start out their enterprises with food trucks. What are the common problems that they face?
Well, I mean, they have to invest in that initial purchasing the vehicle, and a lot of these food trucks are very complicated. They're basically a kitchen on wheels. So, now instead of having a fixed facility, you're trying to put all this equipment into a mobile truck that's moving. Those are some of the challenges. And they're going through inspection processes. They have to go through and meet certain standards. And, so very similar to what the brick and mortars have to go through.
There's a nitrate problem with the water in some areas around Columbus, in and around Columbus. So when you talk about hooking up to the water, does that become an issue for food trucks?
Well, I mean, the food trucks are going to most likely hook up to the water that's offered downtown here at the Arts Festival. And, they're going to follow the same processes that the brick and mortars are going to follow.
Uh-huh.
So as long as, people follow what, the rules that they've been setting out, they should be fine.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about food trucks and how they're regulated in the City of Columbus. My guest is Rob Acquista. He's manager of Columbus Public Health's Food Safety Program. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org or check out our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. Foodborne illnesses cost Ohioans roughly $1.5 billion a year. That's according to a new study published in this month's Journal of Food Protection. Do we know how much foodborne illnesses cost the City of Columbus?
No, we don't have a specific number on that. We do know that as the public becomes more aware of what's going on, they become more aware of food illnesses, we're finding out more. Where maybe 10 years ago with social media and everything else, we didn't know as much, but now people are reporting it. And it's important for people to report it so we can figure out, try to find the source of what happened, and then go there and try to prevent what's going on.
So you mean people, even if they're not hospitalized, if they have a problem with food, if they think they've been sick from food?
Absolutely. If they think they've been sick from food, they need to let us know, and we'll go out and we'll investigate it. One of the mistakes most people think is they think it's usually the last place they had eaten, and that's not always what happens. It's usually what you had 2-3 meals before. So, absolutely, we want to know what's going on. If anything, it gives us a chance to go into the facility and work with them, and whatever might have happened, we can try to fix.
Now, you and I were talking earlier, and I wanted to talk about it again, the growth of your department and the amount of work that there is to do. It's been in the last 5 years that the food truck business has really taken off in Columbus.
Right. That's correct. I mean, we had a lot of mobiles before, the smaller, like, push carts, but the food truck has been the craze here lately, and we're seeing them all over. And it's kind of a neat thing to see as far as, like, what you get to experience. We've had to change what we do to adapt to the food trucks and understand them a little bit better.
How so?
We've become more aware of the safety, as far as just like the structural issues. A lot of the operators now, if they want to operate in the City of Columbus, they have to go through and obtain what they call a mobile food vending license, which is through our licensing department, and we work together with licensing, fire, health, and we're looking at this unit to make sure not only the food part of it's safe, but also, you know, as far as like electrical, fire, plumbing, that kind of stuff.
So for a license, what does it cost nowadays?
Well, there's different charges. You know, we have our mobile charge, and the mobile license, I believe it's about $340, $348. But then there's different fees that they have to go through with, you know, mobile food vending. Now, that's only if they want to operate in the city of Columbus. They could get a license from us. The license we issue is anywhere, good at anywhere in the state of Ohio.
Okay.
So, you know, once they get a license from us, they can go anywhere they want. It's the city's requirement now that if they want to operate in the city of Columbus, that, you know, they need to go through these extra steps.
What have you learned about how the type of food that's being cooked in a food truck affects the inspection and how they come out of an inspection? Are there some that are more complicated than others?
Well, the typical truck or push cart that we knew of years ago of selling hot dogs and chips and pop is gone. I mean, you get anything from a burrito to Chinese food. I mean, you can get anything you want. So now all of a sudden you have to look at the processes just like you would look at, you know, in your brick and mortars, making sure that if they are cooling foods, they're cooling them properly, make sure they're heating them properly. So then you have a capacity issue because you're very limited on your space. So they need to make sure they're pretty efficient about where they put things, what kind of coolers they have, and how they maintain, you know, what they do have.
Have you had to learn about different kinds of food and the way they should be stored and kept?
I mean, the principles follow pretty much, you know, across the board as far as what foods, you know, and how you cool them. What we have learned is the different cultures and the different ideas of what they're bringing here, which is, like I said, it's really kind of neat. So we do get to experience that and see that. But when we determine a food that may be hazardous, you know, it's across the board on how you're going to handle it, temperature-wise, cooking-wise, and the like.
Do first-time food truck operators tend to be experienced in kitchens in general, or do they tend to be new at the whole idea of food prep?
I would like to say that's a
commercial.
I would like to say it's a split audience. Okay. I think you have some people that are coming into it for the first time. I would think a majority of the ones we have coming in have maybe worked in a restaurant, maybe has worked up to maybe like a general manager, and they want to go out on their own. They feel like they can cook and they know certain recipes and they want to go out on their own. So we get a little mixture of both, but I think we're getting more experience than we are someone brand new.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're broadcasting live at the 2015 Columbus Art Festival. It's a beautiful day down here. I hope you'll come down and join us at some point during our two-hour broadcast today. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you have a question or comment. We're talking about food trucks today and the commercial food business when it comes to festivals. My guest is Robert Acquista. He's manager of the Columbus Public Health Food Safety Program. Does the city of Columbus inspect all of the food trucks at the festival? Because there's lots of them that come from all over the place to be here for this big event.
Right. Our first goal is to inspect we have what we call a temporary license. So our first goal is to get the temporaries. Then we hit the mobiles. We are going to get mobile trucks that are going to come in that are licensed through other cities throughout the state. We do inspect every one of them. We try to get into them. We're checking for, you know, the basics, you know, water, refrigeration, you know, temperatures, handling. So we go into every one of them. We'll have people throughout the weekend here just kind of, you know, wandering around. If they see something, you know, they'll stop in and say, you know, question it.
When you talk about the temporaries, are you talking about the pop-up restaurants here that really is, to me, been a great hallmark of the festival is the great local restaurants that come down and pop up?
Right. The temporaries, they come in and they basically buy a temporary license. And there are some different standards for the temporary license as far as the facilities. But as far as like temperatures and, you know, the specific type of items that could maybe get someone sick are all the same. But yeah, the little pop-up tents, they come in here and it's neat because you get to see different items and different, folks making things there. So, yeah.
And, do they sometimes have a problem making the adaptation to the festival scene? They're going to try to produce food and meals that maybe aren't appropriate or may are going to be hard to manage and that kind of a thing.
Well, I mean, that's one of our challenges is when we go out there, we're making sure that they have plenty of ice and that they're watching things. And another thing that we're looking at now, too, is food security. You know, if you have a remote truck somewhere, we want to make sure that truck is secure and make sure it's locked. We don't want, you know, that to be accessible where people could get into it. So we stress, you know, now, you know, not only do we stress all of the handling and the cold and the hot mm-hmm. temperatures, we also stress security and making sure that your product is secure.
If you do get a complaint or a concern about food, what's the process for investigating it?
We'll go out and investigate any complaint we receive. And, you know, the first thing we do is we find out, and hopefully whoever calls in the complaint gives us as much details as they can. And, you know, so we know what we're looking for. But we have people that go out, we'll investigate it, we investigate all of them, and see if there's any, you know, any reason for it and what's going on. And then we explain to the operator that we received a complaint and this is what we're talking about. So, yeah, we look at everything, and we encourage, you know, the people, if they see something, call us and let us know.
614-292-8513. If you have a question or comment about food regulation of commercial food operations in the city of Columbus, my guest is Robert Acquista of the Columbus Public Health Food Safety Program. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. So how big has the food truck business gotten in Ohio? In Columbus.
Well, we have the most food trucks throughout the state. And we're the largest city. And,
how many?
And, we're licensing. I think currently we have over 345.
Wow.
And I think we've inspected about 300 of them. What happens is a lot of them don't use their licenses until whatever event they're going to do. So usually they'll call us and say, "Hey, I'm going to the Arts Festival." But yeah, we've inspected almost 300 trucks. Now, that's a total of push carts and food trucks.
Okay.
Yeah.
But most of the growth has been in the food truck end of it.
Absolutely. The food truck has been the biggest growth.
Have you seen any unusual designs of food trucks that have stood out for you?
Oh, my goodness. I've seen trucks that are just amazing. You know, I've seen one truck where it drives at a certain level, and then when it gets to the whatever event they're going to, the vehicle actually lowers,
uh-huh.
you know, because they want to try to be eye contact with their customers and serving the customers. And, I mean, we've seen designs. It's truly amazing what you see in these trucks.
And there's a company locally that outfit these trucks.
Right. We have companies that are local that do that. And then there's also companies that, you know, throughout the state and even national. So, you know, we're getting these trucks also. Like an event like this, they may be coming from, you know, all over the country.
Right.
Yeah.
This is because it's that big of a deal.
Right.
So how many food trucks are here at the festival? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head. I thought there was around 40 to 50 vendors. So
okay.
Got our hands full with that.
All right. Well, Robert Acquista, I want to thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ann.
That's Robert Acquista. He's manager of Columbus Public Health's Food Safety Program. Coming up, we're going to hear from some food truck managers at our special live broadcast at the 2015 Columbus Arts Festival. If you have a question or comment, want to tell us what your favorite food truck is, now's the time, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org, or go to the Facebook page and post it there. We'd like to hear what your favorite food truck is in Columbus. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Dan Fisher. Thanks for joining our special live broadcast on location at the 2015 Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. We're talking about food trucks and festival food this hour. We just heard from the person in charge of the food truck health inspections for the city of Columbus. Joining us now is veteran food truck manager Brad Esposite of Island Noodles with operations in Ohio, Florida, and Tennessee. Welcome to the show, Brad.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And also owner of the Paddy Wagon Food Truck and president of the Central Ohio Food Truck Association, Zach James. Welcome to the show, Zach.
Howdy, Ann.
Okay. So some trucks do festivals exclusively. I wanted you guys to talk about the pros and cons of doing a festival. Brad, that's what you do, our festivals, right?
Yeah. We only do festivals. We don't have a brick-and-mortar location. So we do travel throughout six states now. And so to add to your list, we also go to Virginia and Kentucky and Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, we only do festivals. We do about 80 events a year.
So what's the benefit of festivals? Where's the margin of profit in a festival?
You know, for us, people always ask us if we, you know, if we'll build a location, things like that. But for us, because we only have one single item, it seems like festivals are the best way, you know, for us to get the volume out of our product. And so we just focus on that. I mean, one day we may have a brick and mortar, and we've kicked it around. But for right now, we focus on the festival market.
And Island Noodles is what?
Island Noodles are, they're Hawaiian style soba noodles, and we cut 21 different vegetables into them, making it a completely vegan product, because the noodles, they're yakisoba noodles. It's traditionally a Japanese noodle, although we put a Hawaiian twist on it. So the noodles are made of buckwheat, and there's the 21 different vegetables, but then the meat eaters also have the option to add teriyaki chicken if they'd like.
You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're broadcasting from the 2015 Columbus Arts Festival. If you have a question or comment, want to tell us what your favorite food truck is, now's the time. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So, Brad, you do a lot of traveling. Is that what you basically do, is live on the road?
That's all I do. Yeah. We actually... we go real hard for about 10 months out of the year. We start our years up in Florida in January, and then we usually taper off around the middle of October, and we're off until the next January. So we work real hard to take 2 months off at the end of the year, and it all pays off then.
Yeah, it sounds pretty nice. How did you get into the business in the first place?
Well, my background's in Major League Baseball concessions, and that's where I started. I was with the San Francisco Giants and the Padres, and also out in Arizona for spring training and Arizona State University. And Island Noodles is actually developed by a Hawaiian guy, and he's native from Oahu. And so this is a family recipe. He was in my ballparks, and he and I became real good friends over the years. As you know, I worked for the big concessionaire company, and he worked under us as a sub. And he and I decided that I wanted to partner with him and take things out east, and that's what we did. So it's been going really well for us ever since we came out this way. But I'm originally from Toledo.
Oh.
Yeah, so Ohio was kind of a perfect fit. You know, we started out in Florida, and, you know, I was really familiar with Ohio, of course, and so we decided to try things up here.
Ohio is a pretty populous state, so there's lots of festivals, right?
Yeah, I would say out of all the states that I mentioned, Ohio and Florida are definitely our biggest markets. And then the other states, we kind of just sprinkle in shows here and there.
Zach, you run the Paddy Wagon food truck. Tell us about what kind of food you have there, and kind of how you got started as well.
Yeah, well, we serve eclectic American fare, anything from barbecue, different chicken wraps, grilled cheeses, culinary justice, as I like to call it, Ann. But I actually started my truck after college. I attended Ohio State, and this seemed like an up-and-coming industry. It was very low-key at that point in 2010, and I saw an opportunity, jumped right in. I had a little bit of kitchen experience from part-time jobs through college, and just went full bore at it.
Yeah, well, so what were some of the things that surprised you about the business? Because a couple part-time jobs at a restaurant is not necessarily a chef you make, right?
Are you correct, yeah. For one, I don't think any amount of kitchen time could prepare you for serving food out of a truck.
Okay.
There's so many unique logistical challenges involved with having a kitchen in the back of an old step van.
Okay.
But more than anything, it's been a lot of the mechanical stuff that's been it's been the learning curve for me for the last 5 years.
You know, Brad Esposito, you've been doing this for a while now. It's only been in the last 5 years that the whole food truck thing has reached Ohio, and it's pretty much exploded. There's a big festival here in the summer just for food trucks. Does that affect the competition? Has it been good? Does it make all food trucks? Does it kind of lift the water for all food trucks, or what?
Well, you know, we do a lot of festivals with food trucks. By the way, we're not a food truck.
Okay.
We are a knockdown booth operation.
Gotcha.
We set up a tent, yeah, I mean, as far as, so we're used to the festival environment where you don't see a lot of really creative menus, I would say.
Uh-huh.
You'd see, you know, more of the traditional
the funnel
festival.
Cake.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my go-to.
So with our product, yeah, I would say the food trucks definitely, you know, it's a lot more competition for us because they have really good food for the most part. You know, like I said, the creative elements there, you know, they have large followings. So, yeah, it does present
I come to festivals now. I have a lot higher expectations about the food I'm going to get at a festival now, because even 15, 20 years ago, you couldn't get what you have. There was no island noodle there. There was nothing like that.
Right, right.
It was just grease.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's pretty cool because our customers love the fact that we're bringing fresh vegetables. You know, we locally source everything everywhere we go. They love seeing all the fresh vegetables being chopped into the wok. You know, it's just something different. And I think the timing's right for a product like ours because right now people are becoming a lot more aware of what they're putting in their bodies. And it seems like, especially over the last like 5 years or so, you know, that's becoming more and more evident.
It means when you said Ohio, Tennessee, Florida, Virginia,
Kentucky,
that's a lot of states. Are the regulations different or are you, how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things that are the same, but yeah, there are some differences. For example, in Tennessee, the entire booth needs to be screened in wherever we go, whereas in Ohio and Indiana, you can have open air. I don't understand the screening thing because sometimes, you know, I think the idea is to keep bugs out of the booth.
Okay. And,
but it seems like with the screen, some bugs will get in from the entrances.
And then it keeps them in.
Yeah, it keeps them in. So I don't really understand Tennessee's logic, but it's just, you know, you kind of just got to play their game.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'd like to hear what your favorite food truck is. Zach, as far as you run the food truck festival.
No.
Okay.
I am the president of the Central Ohio Food Truck Association.
Oh, okay. All right. So what is the Central Ohio Food Truck Association? What's the significance of that?
We are a trade association for the industry. We advocate for fair and practical legislation in Central Ohio. We also create a lot of resources for startup businesses as well as flourishing food truck operations.
Why is it necessary?
Well, initially, in 2012, the city started to work towards new legislation. And as food truck owners, we felt it was important that we had a seat at the table during those discussions. So that was our primary motivator. And as we've evolved as an organization, COFTA, we wanted to create more opportunities for ourselves as members and basically kind of pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. You know.
So what's changed, do you think, the most in the last 5 years?
Well, aside from the legislation here in Columbus, there's a lot more competition out there.
Is that a good thing or not?
I believe so, yeah. I think it's kind of a as the tide rises, we all rise situation.
Uh-huh.
The exponential growth, like I said, when I started in 2010, there were maybe five branded mobile food trucks that were rolling around the city, and I think we're somewhere around 80 now.
Uh-huh. And do you see it growing?
I sure do. Yeah, there's more every month.
And do most of them, are they going to be here at the festival or not?
There's a good bit. I think there's maybe 15 here at this event. And there's another event going on across town. At any point during the summer, you can find food trucks at almost every festival or gathering in Columbus. So.
What's the relative advantages and disadvantages of bringing a food truck to a festival like this?
Well, there's definitely some challenges as far as planning for a longer event. We are out 5 to 6 days a week serving lunch or even dinner, and those are typically 2 to 3 hour shifts. So when we go out, you know, we know exactly what we're going to serve. We know roughly about how many folks we're going to serve, and it's in pretty short bursts. When we come to do a three or four day event, there's a lot more packing and planning involved. It's hard to fit all those things inside the truck, so then you're incorporating coolers, lots of product runs, and a lot more staff.
How many people are you expecting to serve?
This weekend at Columbus Arts Fest, I'd like to serve about 700.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're broadcasting live from the 2015 Columbus Arts Festival. talking about food trucks this hour. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. With me right now, Brad Esposite. He's the owner-manager of Island Noodles. It's a food operation that goes to festivals all over the country, at least all over the east side of the country. If you have a question or comment for him, give us a call. You can also talk with Zach James. He's the owner of the Paddy Wagon Food Truck and president of the Central Ohio Food Truck Association. If you have an email, allsides@wosu.org is the address. We have an email from Rachel. She asks, what website or app do you recommend for finding food trucks? I think there are a few out there. Which is best? Zach?
Food Truck Association actually just launched an app of our own called Street Food Finder, which features all the trucks in our association. It gives you GPS tracking coordinates to where they are, gives you their full schedule for as far out as they've posted it, has their menu, their website, all contained on that app. So that's Street Food Finder. There's Columbus MFV.com, which lists all the city trucks and their locations. And then, of course, you can always track down trucks by their Twitter feeds and things like that as well.
Mm-hmm. How coordinated is all of that now? How many people are participating in the app for the Central Ohio Food Truck Association? Everybody?
Yeah, I'd say almost all of our trucks are actively using the app. We've been kind of honing it in more and more over the last year, working closely with our developer to find the best user-friendly interface as mm-hmm. possible. And at this point, it's pretty seamless to the point where we can basically just plug different dates and locations into our calendar on our phone, and it exports those right to the app. So there's really no reason not to use it. It benefits us all because, the number one question we always get asked as mobile vendors is, where do you set up?
So. How much do people really follow food trucks around the city?
We have quite a following. I can't speak for everybody, but I know that we see some folks at different events all season long. So,
Zach, do people come back year after year? I'm not sorry, Zach. Brad Esposite, when you're serving, there isn't really anything like Island Noodles around here. So, do you see people coming back? How many times have you been to the festival?
This is our fourth year participating at Columbus Arts Festival, but yeah, absolutely. We have a lot of repeat business everywhere we go. Yeah.
Yeah. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. We'd like to hear what your favorite food truck is. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. What has it been like to retrofit your food truck to make it ready for the road?
Have you ever played Tetris?
Yeah.
It's a lot like
oh,
that.
Okay. Shifting things around
always.
A lot.
And I actually have two trucks at this point, and I think both of them have been reconfigured maybe three or four times in the last 5
really?
Years. Really? So it's always finding what works best with the trucks and with me, in my case, building both of them myself, it gives me that ability to kind of continue to rework them and find the perfect formula for our menu and what we're serving.
It seems like Brad has the right idea in that they keep their menu pretty simple. It can be adapted to different tastes, right? But it's pretty focused, and I see that in a lot. I think some of my favorite trucks are pretty focused on a few things, and they do them really well. What do you make of that, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first mistake I make and most food truck operators make is to go too big with the menu. When I started, I had maybe 25, 30 items on the menu.
Yeah.
And quickly started to rein that back in. We're down to about 7 or 8 items that we serve consistently now with lots of specials because, like I said, we're out 5 days a week seeing a lot of the same people. So it's important that we continue to mix it up and have variety. But, yes, yeah, simplicity works. I mean, when you're serving and your entire revenue base is in a 2 or 3 hour window, you want it to be as streamlined as possible without sacrificing quality and variety.
Brad Esposite, how long did it take to get to hone the business to where it is now?
I remember it was about 3 months in, and it was our the biggest festival we had done to date. It was basically just, you know, we were completely under fire, and we only had two guys, and I was on the walk, and that's all I needed. I mean, we had a line of 120 people, and
just kept chugging away.
Yeah, it was a real difficult 3 days. That was in Winter Park, Florida, just outside of Orlando, in an art festival. And after that, we were good to go.
What did you change?
Staffing.
More people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you hire locally when you come in here, or do you bring the same people with you all over the place?
Well, I just had three friends walk by that are from Toledo I went to high school with, and sometimes they'll come down and help me out.
Okay.
My girlfriend travels with me a lot, and we have a crew down in Chattanooga, Tennessee right now doing the Riverbend Music Festival.
How many do you have out there at any time?
I have three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're a busy, in it. Is it your company, or you work with your old friend?
Yeah, it's my company.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're a busy guy then. You're out here slinging soba noodles. And
yep, and trying to get things ready for the next ones, yeah.
Are there a lot of other companies like yours out there that are doing what you do? Not necessarily soba noodles, but having the kind of business that you have.
You mean like multiple units?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of them. But, you know, I've just really enjoyed it. It's fun being able to travel to all these different places and see different things. And hopefully we grow a fourth here pretty soon.
I want to get to Ryan. Could you go ahead and put Jordan from Columbus on the air, please? Jordan from Columbus. Hi, Jordan. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
I had a question. I know that certain cities have spots wherever throughout the city that food trucks or carts will congregate, and they're there almost permanently. Is that a thing that Columbus will either allow, or is there space for it, or is that maybe something that would happen in the future?
Zach?
Yeah, I mean, there's been some discussion with the city about utilizing some of the vacant property for food truck lots. There's definitely nothing prohibiting us from doing it. And then there's the consistent weekly gatherings like the Columbus Commons on Thursdays, which mm-hmm. runs all summer and fall. But yeah, I think there's a lot of potential for more stationary lots. At this point, we all do kind of rove around every day. So,
and what about the where food trucks go? Are people fighting over slots and that kind of a thing?
No, not typically. I mean, there's plenty of commerce to go around in Columbus, and there really hasn't been a whole lot of overlap yet in the cuisine. So, we all know how to play nice.
Okay, all right. And Jason in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you doing today, Ann?
Fine, thank you.
So the Winking Scotsman meat pies is a new truck in town, and they are absolutely delicious. They do meat pies. They're like little hand pies, almost like varieties, but a lot more moist and delicious. They're not so dry.
Okay.
They've got like a pot roast, and they've got like a pulled pork barbecue, and they've got like a chicken bacon mushroom feta.
Oh my gosh! See, this is like I did not eat enough breakfast this morning.
Yeah, look.
So, Jason, do you follow the Winking Scotsman around?
I will now. They are delicious.
Okay. All right, Jason. Thanks for your call.
Thanks.
Take care. Yeah, listeners, if you have a favorite food truck, want to give it a shout out, you can do it by way of All Sides with Ann Fisher. Just call 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org, or check out our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. We'll continue our discussions about food trucks in the city of Columbus coming up. For now, I want to say thanks to Brad Esposite, owner-manager of Island Noodles. It's here at the festival, travels all over the country. They're here today, though, and for the rest of the festival. Brad, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun. My first time on live radio.
Oh, all right.
So I really enjoyed it. Yay. Yeah, thank you.
First our fun. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're broadcasting on location from the 2015 Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. We're talking about what you've probably started to think about right now, and that's food. Food festival food. And I mean festival food, and that means food trucks. Still with us is the president of the Central Ohio Food Truck Association, Zach James. Thanks again for joining us, Zach.
My pleasure, Ann.
And joining us now is the co-founder of Columbus's Food Truck Festival, Chaz Kaplan. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ann. Appreciate you having me.
Chaz has been contracted by the City of Columbus to market and manage their mobile food vendor reservation system. So what does that mean, Chaz? What is a mobile food vendor reservation system?
Zach was talking about the legislation a little earlier that's been going on for the last 2 years and change. And what has occurred is a number of locations for push carts and food trucks around the City of Columbus on the public streets by the licensed vendors. And they needed a marketing program, and two, they needed a reservation system. And I've created a proprietary reservation system that I've used for the last 4 years at OSU. I have the rights to do the mobile program over there. Tried and tested for a couple years, and now we implement it over into the City of Columbus. It's so far so good. We launched it in March. It's been running for a few months now. It's picking up steam every day. We've got 14 active food truck spots every single day through German Village, Short North, downtown, about 27 push cart locations. And my program itself makes it very easy for me to manage and keep track of where everyone is, keep it organized. You touched on something in the last segment about vendors battling over spots and things. That had been an issue in other cities. And somewhat has occurred in the push cart community here. So this program itself kind of diffuses that type of situation before it occurs. Everybody knows where they're going to be a month in advance. It's all marketed on colsmfv.com is where you can find all the schedules and sign up for weekly schedule emails and daily menus of the trucks that are out at your specific location. It's a great program. We're really excited to be a part of it. Obviously, we want to do what we can for the food truck community and the push cart community as well as the City of Columbus.
So what are the hot spots in Columbus?
The hot spots?
Yeah.
I think the city is a hot spot, would you say, Zach?
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere. It's, there are differences between populations and business buildings and things like that in your surrounding areas. The more population, the busier it is.
Uh-huh.
But obviously, I think... Actually, Brewery District, German Village, has become quite a hot spot. Very excited about that. Downtown, obviously. Short mm-hmm. North, it's great. It's everywhere. It's hot everywhere.
Well, so, Zach, James, how do you like the system?
It works. I've used it with Chaz, as he mentioned, with OSU Medical Center for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it does allow you to kind of plan out the month ahead. As he mentioned, there's no vying for different spots because it all kind of... breaks down,
and it's fair. Everyone gets a fair shot.
Yeah, I will say that's the other objective of the program. It's to make the system fair. When we first started scheduling trucks at OSU and had 15 some locations and 30 food trucks, and I was sitting there at a table with a little spreadsheet trying to figure out how to schedule these trucks with it being fair. Me not accidentally favoring one vendor over another. With that, went to a company out of Cleveland, and we created this software to help make it fair, whether vendors either rate the locations or give us sales data, whatever it is. Based on that, we figure out the value of those locations, and that's how we do the schedule, and it turns out fair.
So I was at a medical office building.
Mm-hmm.
Took my mom there for some tests. I had some downtime, maybe an hour, and there was a food truck out front, and I was so happy that I didn't have to go to some rush. I needed to eat lunch, and I didn't have to rush to a fast food restaurant or something like that. But how do food trucks decide where to go? Zach James?
Yeah, well, we've garnered a lot of different relationships around Columbus with office complexes, medical centers. We work through Chaz's system, obviously,
uh-huh.
to do the OSU Medical Center. The best thing about our industry, I think, as I mentioned earlier, we know how to play nice, and we actually help each other quite a bit and kind of spread the word about different locations around town. No one wants the same food every single day, so but oftentimes office buildings want a food option there every day. Mm-hmm. So with that understanding, we can actually kind of spread out the benefits.
Mm-hmm. Chaz Kaplan?
Yes. What I've found is that different... I'm trying to verbalize this properly. the different stages of where a mobile food vendor is in their business.
Okay.
Will tend to either use my system more or less. I don't know exactly where in the stage of their business. I think obviously and hopefully through my program, I do a great job marketing and help get their names out there.
And you have an app that you use so people can go to your...
Well, we have OhioFoodTruckFinder.com, okay. which is a website which has all the Twitter feeds for Cleveland, Cincinnati, Columbus, Dayton. And they link to all of the map calendars that we have weekly. So we have Ohio Health Hospitals, Time Warner locations, OSU, and the City of Columbus are all linked on there as well. But as far as who uses the system, I think a lot of startup guys, a lot of...
Because they want some kind of structure, some kind of...
They want to
focus
on their food and their quality and their staffing okay. and not have to so much focus on booking. Now, that's not the same for everybody. And again, the progression of it is once we put you out at these locations, I think especially OSU, being that it's been solid for 3 years, a lot of private jobs come from that.
Yeah.
And the vendors are able to carry on and grow and expand from that. I think it's a great tool, a great starting place, as well as the sales are pretty consistent. So the vendors know what they're going to do month to month. It doesn't fluctuate unless we get negative 10 degree temperatures.
Yeah, those old
But we also have revolutionized that. Prior to me doing the OSU program, I don't think many food trucks were out in the winter in Central Ohio, let alone in the Midwest.
So how does it change that?
Because we added marketing to it. And obviously it's a structured system. It's hard. It's definitely not easy. Sales are definitely down by, I don't know the exact percent, but I would probably say 20%, something in that regard. But I think what it does for the mobile food vendor is it lets them operate and keep their staff so that they don't have to every spring, they don't have to search out and hunt for new staff. And obviously we all know that staffing is a big issue. You don't want to take the time to train new people all the time.
Zach, James, how hard is it to get staffed?
Well, it's hard to find good help, as they say. I've done a really good job. I'd like to think I've got a great supporting cast behind me, and a few folks that have been with me for years, and we pick up some new people every year. I think the most engaging thing about working on a food truck is that the view from your office changes every single day.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of our folks seem to enjoy that.
Yeah, I think it would be fun since I'm in a basement every single day.
Well, if you're looking for a job, Anne.
Right. Jess Kaplan.
Yeah. I first wanted to just commend Zach and Brad that was on earlier. Both of them just bust it hard and have been doing this hard consistently for a number of years and have seen staff changes come and go with both of those companies, and they just continue to strive and move forward. I recently just purchased a mobile food cart, so I'm getting into that business.
Okay.
I come from the restaurant background as being a franchise consultant for BW3 back in the late 90s, and it's time for us to put the skin in the game. So Bacon the Food Cart is our brand, and immediately we're finding staffing. I mean, it's, you know, back to that talk, it's not easy. You have to be an owner-operator at some point to find that consistent staff and then build the business model to figure out how to keep that staff year-round so that you don't have to have that continued search. It's just something that's been right in my face recently, so I comment on it. Yeah, BaconTheFoodCart.com.
BaconTheFoodCart.com.
Shameless plug.
Okay. So food is the most important element. You sort of honed down your menu, Zach. You said to get what's the best and what's the most efficient way to get the food out.
Right.
What about pricing? Because some people are sort of shocked. They're sort of used to the push cart thing where you're paying whatever you pay for a brat and a bag of chips, but it's very different with the food trucks sometimes.
Yeah, people have a price point in mind they like to pay for lunch, especially if they're eating it on the curb. So, we like to keep ours under $10, I think, across the board. That's important for our customers. So.
Does the price point affect what you do, Chaz?
What I do in regards to...
Well,
we do a few things with prices, and I'll give you an example. knowing and seeing multiple vendors and hearing the stories and how they're doing, I know that OSU, a certain dollar amount it really can't go much higher than that. I don't want to say it's not a public thing, but
that's okay. But that's what I was wondering is if there's
absolutely there are conscious communities depending on the demographics in the area that you're in, depending on the salaries of the people that are in those buildings. If you can find out those demographics, you can target a little better. But again, the overhead with a food truck is more. you got to cover your costs. I mean, if you have a lunch where you know you're going to serve 100 people, you have to keep a certain level of customer service going on. So you have to bring on more people. That ups your cost by $50 to $75 for the lunch.
Uh-huh.
It's difficult to manage, but it's a scale. You got to weigh it. At the Food Truck Festival, which is August 14th through the 16th, by the way, at the Commons Commons.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up.
We are doing something brand new this year where we're requiring each vendor to do a sample item dish at a maximum of $6 per item.
Okay.
The reason we're doing this is to move these lines a lot quicker. We're also doing it to, I've given the idea to Zach and I have spoken about it a couple times, where if you have a wrap and you just cut the wrap in half, sell one half of it as a sample.
Okay.
You'll serve double the amount of people and hopefully, the same amount of time that you would have sold
because
one
the
person.
Lines have been a problem.
Yeah, we want. Well, I don't think they've been a problem.
They were that first year.
The first year they were a problem. Everything was a problem.
Okay,
all right. None of us really knew what was going on.
You don't want to think
then.
About the first year anymore.
But we've refined things, and I don't think it's been a problem since. I think people are coming to a food event.
Yeah,
they expect lines. They're getting quality food.
Right,
and it's up to myself and Mike Galicchio, my business partner. We make sure that we get the best food vendors in that. This year we're looking at 70 plus mobile food vendors. It's going to be an exceptional event. But again, back to the sample size, it's something that we're really, really targeting. A handful of vendors did it last year, and we found that they moved through their lines so quickly that they ended up having no lines. And what happens when you go to a festival and you see a bunch of vendors with lines and one that doesn't have a line? You think something's wrong with that vendor.
Uh-huh.
Well, that wasn't the case. The case was that they were selling small dishes, so there was no wait. So this year we're hoping everybody takes that and embraces it. It's a requirement. So the attendees and the customers can look for that. Hopefully the lines will be moving a lot quicker.
We have an email from Jill. She says, I love the banana man. He drives around Clintonville selling chocolate-covered frozen bananas. It is just one guy on a bike with a bell. Again, he's focused on one thing.
That's awesome. I've never.
Is that a real thing?
I'm not familiar with it.
Well, I believe Jill. She's a regular.
I want to try it.
Yeah. It sounds good to me. Just real quick, we don't have much time, but Zach, James, I think Chaz brought it up. I wanted to ask you about it. How much is private parties part of a food truck operation?
More and more, I would say that's becoming our bread and butter.
Okay.
The game with weddings and different corporate private events, anything from a bar mitzvah, it's all over the board, and the public is starting to realize that versus conventional catering where, there's just kind of a lack of interaction and,
uh-huh.
and character, with the food truck experience, they roll up, everything's taken care of right down to your utensils and napkins and all that, and you get a really really unique experience by walking up to the truck and interacting with the people who actually are cooking your food right there. So,
and Chaz Kaplan, when you're booking trucks for different locations, are there some locations that just want the same sort of trucks coming on a regular schedule? And does that create a problem for you?
Venues ask for that. I can't say that I accept that when I'm booking.
Yeah.
Because I am a true believer of the variety.
Okay.
I have tried the static shift, the scheduled shift, one vendor. Their sales seem to dip after a few weeks. When you have a rotation, different days, if there's maybe five trucks at one location Monday through Friday and each truck is like Paddy Wagon, let's say, was there mm-hmm. on Monday, but they're there every Monday, I think that's great.
Okay.
That's consistency.
Okay.
But as far as 5 days a week, not so much, I don't think. I don't know.
All right. Well, Chaz Kaplan, co-founder of the Columbus Food Truck Festival, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Ann. Appreciate it.
Also, Zach James, owner of the Paddy Wagon Food Truck and president of the Central Ohio Food Truck Association, thanks to you as well.
It's been an absolute joy, Ann.
All right. Well, thanks again. We are on location at the 2015 Columbus Arts Festival. The WOSU booth will be here through Sunday. Thanks for listening today. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.